We've got to add at least 2 seconds onto this. Let's see if he can do this in 90 seconds. He said a minute and a half.
Shane, no, he's not doing this in a minute and a half.
Of course not.
Shane can't even sneeze in a minute and a half.
Hey everyone, welcome to 5 Idiots Talking Toys. I'm Shane, and we are in the midst of going through 45 of the best Halloween movies to watch this season. We typically talk a lot about collectibles, about vintage toys, modern toys. We also talk about a lot of series and movies that are around the sci-fi, pop culture, horror, and the toy hobby, you know, toy collecting hobby. The things that we like, series that we like, movies that we like. And now we're going through this list. You've got five guys who are absolutely horror fans. This is not a list of the best horror movies to watch point blank. We are going to do that fairly soon. These are movies that are suggested that we found an article from Time Out that suggests these are great movies to watch around Halloween. I think we all spend our October sitting down and finding a new horror movie or a classic to go back and watch and just enjoy, just like you do a lot of times in December. You go and look for Christmas movies to watch. I think the five of us absolutely do that for horror movies in this month of October. So here we are with some movies that you may be familiar with. Maybe there'll be a few that you aren't. So hopefully we can give you a suggestion here of what to watch this month as we head into the holiday. Let's bring the boys in now. As you know, we have Charles.
Jason.
What's up? Jason? You're Jason today?
Jason.
Okay. Jason is here. Michael Myers is here. Is this how we're doing it? Okay.
Yep.
All right. Next we have, I don't see how this makes any sense, but next we have Freddy Krueger. We're just doing first names. Freddy. Okay.
Freddy.
And next we have, let me think of one. Pumpkinhead is here. There he is. I'm doing this like on the fly. I have not looked at this list of top 20. I know you guys have taken some peeks, but I hope that Pumpkinhead is on the list. Don't even say if it is or not. That movie scared the shiz out of me when I was of a younger age.
The Snakies.
That was a scary movie.
Oh, Brandon, let it go.
Let it go.
Let it go, Brandon. It's over. Let it go.
Folks, if you're checking out this episode, this video on YouTube or your favorite podcast app and you're not familiar with the channel, please subscribe. Like this video and comment below if you had a movie on here that you hated, that you loved, that you haven't seen and you're going to check out. And then you do check it out. Come on back and drop a comment for us. We are five guys who talk about the toy collecting hobby, pop culture, movies, series. So please subscribe to the channel. Come back and check out some more videos. We have quite a few episodes that you can go and watch right now.
Is that a Hollow Cheeks?
This is the only Halloween Star Wars mask that I have, and I think it's actually pretty cool.
It is cool. You need a gaffy stick.
I don't collect any of the other ones, but I just wanted the mask because I thought this one was pretty neat.
Is that the Ben Cooper?
Correct.
Nice.
That's a vintage one? Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
Correct.
Is that a Ben Cooper?
I love the
1977 Star Wars adult mask. Yeah. $1.19. Ben Cooper.
Wow. Thanks. John, I love the design of the boxes. The boxes are just... Oh, yeah. I mean, honestly, the boxes are better than the costumes. The boxes are amazing.
Definitely.
I can't say I remember seeing those on the shelves as a kid. I do remember there being Star Wars costumes available. You know, Charles will be happy to know that I don't remember those on the shelf. Yeah. But I see the boxes now and they're fantastic.
I remember the smell of those things.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. All right. So we're going to jump in right now and pick up where we left off in the last episode. And if you haven't seen the last episode, if you ended up landing on this one, go ahead and click our channel below and you can go back and see 45 through 21. We run through those those movies to watch during the holiday season. And now we are going to jump in to the top 20.
I'm pumped. I love this.
Guys, Charles is pumped. I hope you love are it. As well.
Pumped.
Let's see what we got here. This is where we left off, guys. Number 21 was An American Werewolf in London. If you're interested in hearing our talk about that, go back and watch the last episode. And there's quite a few good movies in there. Just jumping to my mind, guys, are Jaws, The Ring. Go ahead, John.
I was going to say
Dawn of the Dead.
They played Bad Moon Rising during the yes. change.
Yes.
And that was pitch perfect.
Perfect.
For this
I
movie.
Do remember that.
Thank you.
We saw Jaws, Dawn of the Dead, a couple
Night of the Living Dead,
Night of the Living Dead,
Funhouse
that none of us have ever heard of,
The Ring,
Nightmare on Elm Street, of course, quite a few really top horror movies. So go back and check the last episode if you weren't here for that. And we're going to move on now to number 20. Oh boy, we're starting off with a blockbuster. I've never heard of this. The Guest.
Never.
No idea.
2014.
No clue.
Next.
It's a charismatic psycho killer.
Can you imagine this? Number 20, The Guest.
The Guest.
Who's never heard of this thing?
And no one's even heard of it.
Shane,
how does this beat out Jaws?
And Shane, just do the right thing to skip over it.
It's stupid. I don't know.
I'm just giving this movie the credit that it deserves.
It surfs the line between horror, action flick, and thriller in glorious, wantonly bullet-strewn style.
Next, just skip it.
Like John Wick. Skip it.
Treat yourself, Next. Charles.
How's that in front of Jaws? Skip
well,
it.
I want to skip it. I'm going to skip it, but I was a little frozen because we're starting a new episode here with a movie that we've never heard of.
Stupid.
All right.
Dumb.
The Guest.
Next.
Number 19, The Changeling from 1980.
Next.
I've never heard of it.
Double next.
Never watched it.
I've heard of it. But...
It says it has
jumping
Shining vibes.
It sounds like the Youngling from Mandalorian. Next.
Okay. Well, we're off to
George C. Scott.
We're off to an auspicious start here, John Walden. But we're now at The Conjuring.
Yeah. Is that 18 though, really?
Oh yeah.
The Conjuring is fantastic.
I love this series. But is it 18?
It kicked off
really
a new cult classic.
It did.
2013. I'm trying to remember this actress's name because I love her.
What is her name?
Shelley McGuire.
She was in the movie with George Clooney.
What's her name?
She was in, Emma Watson. Departed also?
Say that again, John.
She was in The Departed, right?
I don't know if she was in The Departed, but she was in that airplane movie with George Clooney, right?
She was in Smurfs.
What? All right, let's go ahead and click through and figure this out.
Okay. Back.
Oh my god, he clicked on it.
You don't do the click. Oh boy.
Oh, you don't click.
Now
you
I don't blew click. It. Now you don't I blew click. It. What's her name?
Lily
Justin
Taylor.
Bieber.
No, it's not Lily Taylor.
Lily Taylor.
No, it's not Lily.
No, Vera Farmiga. Farmiga.
Yeah. Farmiga. Oh,
she's a meteor black.
I just love her. I think she's just so attractive, and I just think she's a great actress. Anything that she's in, I enjoy watching her.
Indiana Jones 5, too.
Leia Bush.
Yeah, so Lorraine and Ed Warren. So this movie is based on a true story.
Lorraine.
This movie is based on a true story. Guys, I think they're around this area, right? Long Island, like New York, New Jersey, Connecticut. Like, where does this movie take place? It's around this area,
is it really?
Right?
I didn't know that.
I think so. I think the true story is around this area.
It takes place in Amityville.
Okay. All right. So it's of this area. It's one town over from me. It's based on a true story of a husband and wife who she is a medium and they go around, you know, it's not exorcisms, but it's handling spirits that have, you know, taken over households.
How do you know what size she wears, Shane?
She's a Schmedium.
Schmedium.
But you know, my wife is a horror movie fan too, not to the point that the five of us are. And she loves the series. And then the series continues with The Doll.
Yeah, they have spinoffs.
My wife is the same
with
way.
With Annabelle, right?
Annabelle, they have spinoffs of this.
Yeah.
The Nun.
So, you know, New the Line Nun, Cinema, you know, good, you know, not big budget horror movie, but it spawned a whole, you know, a whole franchise that they're, then spun off again.
Yeah, they're their own genre, right?
It now. Rekindled it.
Yeah, so for anybody who's watching who hasn't seen The Conjuring, I mean, I believe there's three of them, and then there's three Annabelles even. And I've only seen the first Annabelle, and I thought that was pretty decent.
I don't know if there's three, but I know they have two nuns.
And then there's
oh, that's right. The Nun is a spinoff.
There's a Spanish one.
Yeah.
La Llorosa or whatever.
Spanish Nun?
No,
I forgot the Nun is a spinoff of this.
La Nuna.
La Llorosa or whatever. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
You're thinking of Rosemary's Baby.
Let's see. I'm going to find it. I'm going to find it.
Oh, my God.
Is this a spinoff of Rosemary's Baby?
All right. So The Conjuring is number six, number 18. Man. And now we are down to number 17, which is Candyman, 1992.
Man. Absolute classic.
Fucking scary.
I am not positive that I've ever seen this. I think I've seen parts of it.
Oh, stop, Shane.
I saw this movie at a drive-in theater, believe it or not, and it was scary AF. What year was it?
1992.
So I was 10. It was scary AF.
I was terrified to actually say this in the mirror three times.
Yeah.
Candyman.
Yes.
Candyman. I just remember the blood and gore in this movie was... Oof.
Clive Barker, or is it Bernard Rose's Baroque Clive Barker adaptation? I do remember seeing parts of this movie. Like, this was like one of those deals where somebody had it on in college, and I've seen chunks of it, like, not, you know, 20 minutes here, whatever. I do know some of it, but I have to sit down and watch the whole thing. Brandon, I know this is one of your favorites.
Yeah, only because it was one of the ones that I saw that I remember seeing
as a kid.
And it was, I probably should not have been watching it when I was 10.
How old were you?
Right.
10.
How old? Oh, okay.
Oh, there's probably no should way not have you been remember, watching
remember
that
it. Anymore. Nope. 10 years old, you remember it.
Okay.
I only remember certain scenes, and I remember this some chick running through a hallway screaming with blood all over the place. And
right. Yeah. And I'm reading here. I'm remembering this is riffing on the, you know, the Bloody Mary urban legend.
I was 10 years old. I remember this chick. Yeah. She was running through the hallway. Blood all over her. That's all I remember.
What else do we know about this movie? Were there sequels to this?
Yes.
They make.
Oh yeah.
The NECA toys are pretty cool for this too.
And there's a remake of this too. Also.
Okay. Remake just came out last year, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or recently.
Did you
or
a couple has years anybody ago, yeah. seen that remake?
No.
No. Okay. This is definitely gonna be on my list to watch.
So this is one of those where this, like The Fly, I saw it and I rewatched this one too. And The Fly was kind of like, meh, it's kind of cheesy, you know, but this one's still kind of like, this one's still like
scary.
Not scary, creepy. But just like, man, there's a lot of blood and guts.
It's gory.
In this
it's
one.
Gory. Yeah. I feel like this is one of those movies that if you bring the name up to people who have seen it, they will
at least five times. You have to say it five times.
Well, if you bring it up to somebody, they'll snap to and go, oh yeah, Candyman. But when you think of, you know, horror movies and like, you know, the killers that are known in the movies, you know, Jason, Freddy, you know, Mike Myers, like this is not one that pops into people's minds so easily, but as soon as they recall it, they kind of are totally into it.
Yeah. I love it.
All right. Okay, now we're really getting somewhere now. I don't know how we're kind of only at 16 here, but 1978's Halloween.
Look who's in the background.
John Carpenter.
Jamie Lee Curtis.
William Shatner.
William Shatner, Inside Out.
George Lucas.
Large Lucas?
George.
Oh. I thought this was a new Lucas I wasn't familiar with.
Large Lucas.
Large Lucas.
Large Marge.
Large Marge.
Tell them Large Marge sent you. All right. Yeah, so Halloween.
Definitely a classic.
I mean, this is 1978, so this predates the other classics from our childhood of, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street and Friday the 13th. I mean,
amazing.
This is generally considered their first slasher movie. Amazing. Am I right?
I guess. I don't know.
Really, the first slasher movie is probably Psycho.
Yeah, I was gonna say I wouldn't really say it's first.
Okay, that's fair to say. The idea of a psycho, you know, roaming around a town or an area and just randomly killing people with, you know, for no real reason.
Yeah,
this was the first movie, like, you know, the whole movie was set that way, I feel like. And yeah, it spawned on so many other movies. I mean, it changed the whole horror genre.
They still have Halloween. Halloween Part 2 of 19 whatever.
Yeah.
Just
H2047Q. Yeah.
Donald Pleasant was in a bunch of these, all the old ones when they came out.
Yep.
And then you had Redman and LL Cool J or whoever it was.
Is there like a
Redman was in one?
Method Man.
Reminds me of like
Method Man.
This reminds me of all the Star Wars books. Out. You never know which one's next or what order they're in. There's so many of them.
Yes.
Like, is there like a timeline where. Is there a website that gives me all the Halloween movies to watch in
So I want to say it's Halloween.
It's called Google.com.
It's Halloween 1-5. And then after that, I want to say it was H2O that came out.
Mm-hmm.
And then after H2O.
Resurrection.
Then they had the Resurrection. But then they had a two-parter just recently with Jamie Lee Curtis.
Halloween Kills, right?
Right. So I have to remind everybody, you'll know what I'm talking about. I have to remind everybody that Halloween 2, Season of the Witch, does not have Michael Myers in it. It is a completely, completely separate story with no Michael Myers, no Jamie Lee Curtis. And the reason why is when they first shot Halloween, the plan before they even made this one was that it was to be an anthology series. Michael Myers was one single story. And then going forward, they were going to make Halloween movies, like a series of Halloween movies. And Michael Myers was just one story. They did second one with witches and like demonic Season spirits.
Yeah, it was spirits, I remember.
And it did okay, but nothing like the first one. So they flipped the whole idea and just went back to Michael Myers for every other one.
Was this supposed to be centered on the sanitarium? Was that what their plan was? Smith's Grove Sanitarium?
Was that what was in the second one?
I think, wasn't Donald Pleasance in the second one?
Donald Pleasance was in a lot of them. He was in a lot of the originals.
Yeah. Wasn't he in the second one? I don't remember. They had the masks, and the mask made people do things.
I'm going to assume and say yes, he was, because I know he was in a bunch of them.
I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, so while this may have spawned on a genre of real slasher movies, it was supposed to be a one and done. It was just a story unto itself, and it was just so popular, and the second movie didn't do as well that they had to go back. And so my other thought was, you know, Chris, you said they're still shooting and making Halloween movies.
Halloween 3. Halloween 3.
Was Season of the Witch?
Yeah.
Okay, so I have that wrong. But it was supposed to be an anthology, and they were supposed to move away from Michael Myers, and, you know, it was kind of like a fail. The movie's not bad, but they realized they had something, you know, a cash cow there, and they needed to go back to it. How many movies have we now got in a row where Jamie Lee Curtis has, like, completely white hair? I mean, Jamie Lee Curtis is not a spring chicken anymore, and she's still making these horror movies.
She ain't complaining.
No.
I'm paying the bills.
I did like the one where she had the cage in the floor of her kitchen, though.
That's the latest one that came out.
Yeah.
That was the part two.
It was kind of cool that she
part three
rigged up her whole house to try to capture him finally. Yeah. All right. 1985. We're at number 15 on the list. Return of the Living Dead.
Ridiculous.
That is the 15th one, really?
Yes, it's so ridiculous. I can't believe that they actually made this number 15.
That movie is insane.
I get so. Is this the one that I was talking about in our last episode?
Yes.
With the 1980, you know, 85 teenagers.
Yeah, I remember loving it when I was a kid, but it was just its own movie. It wasn't like I was thinking of the originals. I didn't know the originals then. So it's a campy horror movie. There's a bunch of blood and gore, and it's kind of comical. And you know,
it says punk rock rom-com. What does it say? Zom-com.
Wasn't there a guy with a mohawk?
Oh, yeah.
It was crazy, right?
The punk rock kids in the cemetery and all that stuff.
Yeah, like the cheerleader making out with somebody in the cemetery and zombies are coming out of the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that, I mean, from my childhood.
There's like a dissected dog in the mortuary that barks.
From my childhood, this was like a classic that I liked watching, whether it was a good movie or not. Okay, this, here we go. Now, this is the scariest movie of my life. I mean, this is the scariest movie that I saw because... I've told you guys I've seen some of these movies younger than I should have. Yeah. I saw The Exorcist. I don't know how old I was. I was probably like 9 years old or something. I was scared to death watching this movie. And I made it through. Like, I was totally enthralled. It didn't scare me. I couldn't watch it. But I was scared to death from this movie. The Exorcist, 1973.
Why did this scare you, Shane?
Because it was something, I'll tell you exactly why. When we talk about slashers and gory stuff happening,
I know where you're going with this.
This is something that I felt could possibly happen in real life.
Yes,
and it is also the reason that you guys are possibly scared by alien movies, because it feels like something that could possibly happen. Like, we just don't know if it could, like, the idea that somebody's going to go around with an axe and swing it at people's heads is, you know, so far fetched. Not saying it doesn't happen, but
Texas Chainsaw Massacre to me, like, could absolutely happen. Movies like this obviously are based on just like the Conjuring. Demonic.
Satan.
Yeah, if you've had any church in your life and Bible in your life,
are real
this is scary
movies.
As you know, all hell.
The alien movie that you told us about, not the classic Alien, but the one that was
No One Can Save You.
No One Can Save You or whatever, like with the aliens coming into your house, like that can kind of happen. I could see that. But they just made did you guys see the one Russell Crowe? I think it was on Netflix,
The Priest,
The Exorcist Priest. That one was really good. I feel like that movie was really
good. I still haven't watched it, but I keep hearing that it's good.
It's really good. And it's same, you know, it's kind of exorcism thing that it was. Yeah. So,
well, this was creepy awesome because she's talking in bed and then her head spins around in a circle.
Yeah.
And that's like the most classic part of the thing that everyone, you know.
She's
like in Latin. You know,
she's a kid.
She's a kid. Speaking in Latin, the bed is levitating. She's, you know, vomiting the famous, you know, pea soup at the priest. And she's, you know, of course, using the most vulgar language that you would never, you know, expect a child to say. I mean, just so many elements of it that are just so freaky and scary. And, you know, it absolutely holds up. If you have not seen this movie in a long time, let alone at all, if you haven't seen this movie in 15 or 20 years, do not hesitate to watch it. It holds up. Yes, it feels like the 70s, you know, the look of the movie. Absolutely, the story holds up. It is still scary. I watched it last year for Halloween. You know, I had to. I hadn't seen it in a couple of years. You know, and there's a lot of other movies that came from this or give you a similar feeling, like Amityville Horror, things where there's possession and demons, and we just talked about The Conjuring, things where there's demons and possession. I mean, I think it's very scary.
Or like the movie The Strangers.
Is that the one where the people are outside?
The people come to the house. Yes. Yeah. And they like harass the couple.
Yeah.
That is scary too. I'll just throw it out there. I think I've said this to you guys before when I was talking about the Alien movie recently. The movie my wife finds the most scary of any movie I've ever spoken to her or watched with her is Signs, because she hates aliens. Like, aliens are so scary to her. And I put that in this same, you know, category as this is something you know, you fear that could actually happen. When those aliens show up and, you know, they're going into people's houses, she can't watch it. She has to leave the room. She's like, I can't do it anymore. I'm losing my mind here.
Fantastic movie.
Yeah.
So did she like that movie that you recommended?
I watched it on my own. Oh, no. She did watch it with me.
How did she make it through that? She can't make it through Signs.
Listen.
we need to keep moving here.
We need to keep moving. She can't stay awake for movies. God. She didn't see the whole movie. Let's put it that way.
Hey, we're on episode 2 here, Chris. We're fine.
We got through 7 movies and Shane hasn't shut up yet.
Trick or treat.
All right, I'm going to throw it over to Chris. Chris, please talk about number 13.
Trick or treat is a movie that no one has seen, no one has watched. It might be good, it might be bad. Next.
Chris, you know how to make good YouTube content. I got to give it to you.
I'll do the next one.
Fantastic. What is Trick or Treat? Do we know anything?
No one cares. Next.
It's like a.
It's an anthology movie.
Yeah, it's like a. Actually, it has like vignettes throughout the movie.
Okay, I mean it's number 13 on this list. I mean,
well, Sam, the kid right there, Sam is a popular character.
Okay, he's got a sack on his head. He's like Scarecrow from Batman.
Yeah, all right. I haven't seen that movie in a long time, but.
All right, we're going over to Charles now. Charles, you have number 12 for us.
Number 12 is going to be The House of the Devil. It came out in 2010. It is a retro horror movie. I've never seen it, but I would love to see what number 11 is.
How are we at number 13 and 12 and we haven't heard of these movies?
Because the person that wrote this is dumb.
Exactly.
All right. All right, House of the Devil. Never hit us in the comments if you know these movies. Here is another classic. Another I'm going to throw it to Brandon Alamo. You have number 11.
This kid looks like he is related to me.
He looks like he's an AC/DC.
Yeah. He loves cons. And he was going to cons back in 1976. And he belongs on the Master of Puppets cover to Metallica.
John That's Walden, Damian. Can you reveal his name?
Damien.
It is this movie is the reason why parents do not name their babies Damien.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
1976.
Creepy.
Super creepy. This child is born. He's the son of Satan on Earth. I don't know.
The beast at, like on the back of his neck or something.
I don't know who this young actor is that played him, but kudos to him. I mean,
William
he was
Shatner.
Creepy as hell.
There are so many scenes in this movie that just, I don't know if, has anyone ever seen Midsommar?
Not yet. I just was reading about it like two nights ago.
Midsommar Night's Dream?
No, Midsommar.
William Shatner.
It's on par with Midsommar as far as like
Bob Barker
being creepy. It's just creepy.
Bill Shatner.
John, Midsommar is when there's like a cult, right? Creeping.
Yeah,
like a festival cult that these people go to, right?
Yeah,
I it's on my list. I already saved it in my list.
Do they go to cons?
It will make you uncomfortable.
Do they go to cons? What I want to know.
William Shatner. I cannot. Right. I cannot believe.
Get out.
I'm sorry.
I can't believe Get Out's number 10.
Yeah, number 10, Get Out from 2017. This was Jordan Peele's very first feature movie. I actually just watched a scene from this last night because I came across it in a TikTok, and it was like a 5-minute clip of the most. It was a list of the most uncomfortable endings to movies. And this actually no, it wasn't TikTok. It was on Reddit, and so it was a thread of the most uncomfortable movies. And so many people recommended, nominated Get Out for the most uncomfortable ending.
It's a good movie.
When he's trying to leave the house and, what's her name? His girlfriend in the movie, she's trying to get her keys out of the purse for like 5 minutes straight.
Yeah.
So on Rotten Tomatoes, this has 98%. Yeah. And it's their number 2 horror film.
Yeah.
I have trouble with the horror.
I love horror, number 10. Loved it.
But it is a psychological.
It's not bad. It's a good movie, but it's just not number 10 of all time.
It's at number 10, and Rotten Tomatoes has it as number 2.
Yeah, it's just.
So is that number two best horror movies? Is that what you said, Charles? Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
I can't recommend this enough. If you haven't seen it, it is fantastic.
It's a great movie.
I mean, don't expect to go see a gory, slasher movie. Not that all horror movies are like that, but it is a mind bend. It is crazy.
Yeah. Not a lot of, he's smiling really big right there. Not a lot of smiles in this movie.
No. All right. So Get Out. Definitely recommend that.
Here
is a favorite of mine.
Mine too.
28 Days Later from 2002. This is it's a British movie, right?
Yep.
It is
Danny Boyle.
Danny Amazing. Boyle. This is a really creepy movie. Creepy in the sense that we're talking like End of Days here.
So it was one of the first movies zombie wise that had fast moving zombies and not the slow Correct. not slow zombies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. So for anybody who knows World War Z and how fast those zombies were, like that movie was Running not possible zombies. Without this movie first.
Yeah.
You know, this was where zombies were not just creepy. They became really, really scary because they were coming after you.
This was a very, very low budget movie and ended up doing awesome. They have a part two called 28 Weeks Later. 28 Weeks Later was, again, I thought it was a great
Mm-hmm. I thought it was just as good as
28
Days Later.
They've been talking about part three for the longest time. 28 months later, they're supposed to bring him back. I forgot his name. What's his name? Is it down there? No, it's not there. I can't remember his name.
Well, this is the guy who was the star of Peaky Blinders, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, he's just so fantastic.
Cillian Murphy.
Yeah. He was Scarecrow and Batman, and he's a star of Peaky Blinders, which is fantastic.
If anyone likes zombie movies, definitely watch this movie. Watch part two. Hopefully they do come out for part three. They've been talking about it for years, and I am dying to see it.
The thing that stood out to me the most about this movie is that they dangle hope like a carrot up right to the very end, and then you realize, oh, there's no hope.
Yeah.
There's no hope.
You know where my mind, another movie that my mind ties us to is the pandemic movie, like that, outbreak. Like the way that Outbreak is spreading and it's a pandemic. I mean, what you're seeing here is the movie starts kind of like 28 days later from an outbreak type situation.
28 days later. Yeah.
And so the Outbreak movie was scary in the sense that that was like a scientific, situation that could happen
just like COVID.
Now, all these years later. But the 28 days later was showing you like how it could get that much worse. Like what could the worst version of Outbreak being? It wasn't people just dying. It was them turning into zombies. So fantastic. Awesome movie. Great movie.
If I remember correctly, the scariest thing about that is that he woke up from a coma or something, right?
Yes.
I had no idea what was going on.
And that was, kinda similar like to the first episode of Walking Dead, right?
Yep. Yeah. Walking Dead.
All right. So here we go.
Yeah. I agree.
All time. We're talking Stephen King.
That's definitely a top 10 for sure.
We're talking Stanley Kubrick.
Without a doubt.
We're talking The Shining from 1980.
Yeah. Correct.
Absolutely amazing.
Still Stephen King hated this. Isn't higher on the list.
Holds up well.
Stephen King hated this adaptation.
Really?
He hated it. Yep.
Stanley Kubrick
for making it. Yeah.
He was such a force himself that number one, it's surprising. You don't normally see, two like titans come together on a piece of material like Stephen King and Stanley Kubrick, but I can absolutely believe that, hearing you say that, because Kubrick was, such a force. Vision. Like he wasn't going to sit there and listen to like what somebody told him what to do on the movie.
Yeah. He had his own vision for it.
Yeah,
for sure.
Now I've read quite a few Stephen King books. I have not read The Shining.
I haven't.
Do you have any sense for how different the adaptation was?
No, I haven't read The Shining.
Mm-mm. Okay. So again, if you're watching this and you have some thoughts to share on the difference between the book and the movie, hit us in the comments below. We'd love to hear that.
Movie's so good.
Jack Nicholson, he's just amazing in this movie. I mean, he's just, he goes from, you know, your average everyday kind of guy with, you know, money problems, issues, whatever the problem, he just turns into an absolute psycho, but so slowly,
yeah,
and kind of quietly at first, that it's, the creep level is really up there.
Red Rum.
Yeah, and you've got the twins in the hallway that are just so iconic. Yep. The kid on the Hot Wheel, you know, it's fantastic.
Scatman Crothers.
So we're the groundskeeper.
Yeah,
we're the second owners of this house, and it was built brand new. And I think the first owner had it for, I don't know, 6 months before we moved in. And a few months ago, we were painting my daughter's bathroom, and we look above the shower, and my wife's like, "Look at that writing! Isn't that kind of weird?" And I was like, "What writing?" No kidding. When the steam hits the wall, somebody wrote something in the, and it's, I don't know why it's in the paint, but I've since painted over it. And I don't know what it said, but it was, it reminded me of this movie, and it's so creepy.
Yeah. Brandon, I hate to tell you, but even though you painted over it, go turn on the shower after we're done recording. You will absolutely, the steam will bring it right through. You've got something going on there. I do want to say that the movie that came out more recently that is supposed to be a prequel or like something associated with The Shining, I still haven't seen it.
The remake?
I don't think it was a remake. What was the recent movie that was like either a continuation or a prequel or something?
It was Doctor something.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I still haven't seen that. It's saved in my list. I see it all the time.
It's a prequel, I think.
And I haven't put it on. Doctor, I forget what it's called.
I can't remember what it's called either.
All right. Have you guys seen the remake to that one though?
With Tim Daly?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
The remake to The Shining?
Yeah.
No.
It's more true to Stephen King's vision.
Oh, okay. Well, I would watch it just knowing that.
Yeah.
All right.
I think I've seen parts of it, but it was like a two-parter or something, wasn't it? And it's super long.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Boner alert.
Oh, there we go. Alien.
Boner alert. Chris is off his phone now. Boner alert.
Favorite franchise of all time. Way better than Star Wars.
By the way, that movie is Dr. Sleep.
Yeah.
But here's a movie that most of the viewers have never heard of before. It was a very small movie. No. Alien 1979 is an absolute classic, and I love repeatedly describing to my wife how this is both a sci-fi movie, which she will tell you all the time how much she hates sci-fi. It's a genre that she won't watch. And then I have to explain, no. It's a horror movie. So, and it's one of those that you don't think of it being a horror movie, but it so is.
You don't think of it, but I play this movie in the background. I just put it on all the time. And I don't really watch. I just have it on in the background. That is the only time that I really considered it ever a horror movie, because you hear the sounds and they're not even showing you what's going on.
Yeah.
They pan to a crew member and you hear the screaming in the background, like echoing through the ship. And it's like, so it's kind of like, that is what makes it a horror movie to me. Just the sheer terror that this crew is going through as they're getting eaten alive or getting destroyed by this alien. Like that is how good they made this movie, to where the sound is everything in this movie. So if you just listen to it,
like Jaws.
Yeah. It's you don't even need to watch it. You just hear it and you're like, wow, someone, you know, yeah, and you don't the worst part is you don't even know what's happening to those people. Right. All you hear is the scream and then it's silence.
Right. And it's so true. It's been said a million times, but a lot of times in horror movies, what you don't see is the scariest. Mm-hmm. This is a small crew on this ship. It was a crew of, I think, seven or eight people. They're getting picked off one by one, and you're not really seeing, as the movie viewer, like Brandon said, you're not seeing what's happening. The other crew members are not seeing what's happening. There's one alien on the ship. You know, it is so different than the following movies. It is one creature that they're dealing with. they're blue collar workers. They're not meant to deal with this kind of a situation. They're not military people. Everything about it is scary because you can relate to these people as just every people in the future working this blue collar job. And the soundtrack, the effects, it just haunting. And on the flip side, the sequel, which is a movie we all love, is 100% a sci-fi movie. So, you know, there is a difference there. I mean, that is a shoot 'em up, you know, sci-fi action movie. So Alien, love it. Make sure you see that if you haven't watched it in a while. It's worthwhile revisiting, of course. Creepshow 1982.
Amazing.
John, take this over here. I am not sure that I've sat through this and watched this fully. Uh-oh. What do we got, John?
Well, there's the creep.
I'm bringing you in here. Oh, yeah. That looks like the Crypt Keeper from
Did Chris just give one of those away on the page?
I gave a Creepshow figure away, but it wasn't that.
It wasn't this one, yeah. There's the creep. Yeah.
Nice.
He's like the... I guess he's like the guy who takes you through this tour of horror. I think there's like four or five vignettes in the film.
I think there's three.
And is it three?
Might have been three.
Maybe three, yeah.
I've seen this when I was much younger because I remember the cover in the, you know, in the video store for so many years.
Yeah.
But I'll have to go back and visit it again. It's been so long.
Yeah, Stephen King is in one of them.
Interesting.
He's in the one with the green marsh on him.
I think. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I wanted to say that that's the first one is the green marsh. Like he grows like the green stuff all over him.
Yeah. And then, that's, I can't remember her name, but she was in Swamp Thing.
Yes. I was going to say I recognize her and I've seen Swamp Thing a bunch.
Adrienne Barbeau.
Yes. Yeah.
But yeah.
Let's see. This is George Romero as well.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's based on a comic book. Tales from the Crypt, right?
So is that
the bank, right? Or no, it's based, yeah, Tales from the Crypt.
It says Tales from the Crypt, yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. Oh, no, Creepshow is a comic book.
Yeah, I mean, Tales from the Crypt, yeah. I watched like religiously, and I was, you know, fairly young when I watched it, but I love that show. Yeah.
But yeah.
Do you guys remember, you know what the one episode that sticks in my head? Do you remember when it was funny because there was a lot of sexual innuendo and stuff in that show. It was totally inappropriate for me to be watching it. Yeah.
Oh,
it was totally inappropriate for me at whatever age I was. But do you remember when the husband was like cheating on the wife and he kept saying like, I want your body. And the wife like cut his head off and swapped the heads with the husband and the girlfriend, like sewed his head on. That sticks in my head. There were some wild episodes to that show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All right.
That's one of Jennifer's favorite movies is Creepshow.
Okay.
Creepshow 2 is good too.
Hereditary 2018. Who wants to jump in on this?
No clue.
Uncomfortable.
Very.
It is so uncomfortable to watch.
Chris,
never heard of it.
I'm not going to go to some statement like, oh, Chris, you got to watch this. You're going to love it.
I don't recommend it to anyone.
you need to watch this movie and give us your feedback when you're done. Really? That's like all I can say. This movie is effed up.
I never heard of it.
It is so uncomfortable.
It is. I can't even think of the words, John. It's like. I would recommend people to watch this if you like horror movies. This is crazy.
Drink. Make sure you have a Pepto Bismol close by.
It is really, really odd. The people in it are odd. The family is odd. The way that they shoot it is creepy and odd. You're uncomfortable the entire time you watch it, and what you see on the screen is. Insane.
Yeah.
At some point, I'm on, you know, but put this on your list. Hereditary is, I don't want to talk about it if Chris hasn't seen it because And for any of our viewers who haven't seen it, you know, go watch this. But this is a really creepy, haunting movie. And I don't know much about, you know, who directed it or what, but this is a it'll break you mentally, this movie.
Directed by Ari Aster. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're gonna hit the mute button on discussing this movie because this is worth Chris seeing. Brandon, have you seen this?
I haven't, yeah.
No.
All right. So you guys are gonna have to watch this, and maybe when we come back, John, and do the horror movie episode where we kind of go through some of our favorites, we'll have to revisit this then. Oh, but yeah. This is a pretty recent movie that it's haunting. It will stay in your brain.
Oh yeah, you can't unsee the movie for sure.
All right,
here we go, John Carpenter.
Here we go. I think a big favorite. I'm gonna throw it over to Chris. Chris, you got number four.
Did I just do one?
I don't know. This is a whole list. Where's your brother?
The thing, I haven't watched the original one in a very, very long time, but I have seen the remake on Netflix just recently, and it was awesome. So going by that, I want to say it's a creature that was buried in ice or something like that, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yeah, they resurrected it.
Yeah. They resurrected it, and they thought it was dead by finding some kind of like weird animal creature. And then when it thawed out, it ended up still being alive and terrorizing. And I think it actually can change into like a human form or something.
Yeah, it can shapeshift.
And then obviously when it dies, it crawls out and goes into someone else. So it was, you know, I don't remember the original, but I remember that the remake was actually very good. I liked it.
I watched the original not too long ago, and it's definitely... I watched it because they were coming out with all these NECA figures of the thing, and I was like, what? I was like, I gotta watch this. I've heard so much about it. I think I saw this when I was a kid, too, but I rewatched it not too long ago, and I was actually kind of impressed. I was like, oh, it was pretty good.
Yeah, and I'm reading the little paragraph here, and it's this was actually a remake. It was originally done in 1951, so whatever was done more recently is actually in another, you know, another take on it.
The 1951 version had James Arness as the creature.
I've never seen that.
James Arness was wasn't he in Gunsmoke? Yeah, he was in Gunsmoke.
So this is Kurt Russell, right?
Yeah, this is Kurt Russell.
This is, you know, an earlier Kurt Russell movie.
About the same time as Escape from New York.
Yeah. So he wasn't like the big blockbuster name yet, but he was well on his way. You know, within the next couple of years, you know, he was a household name for sure. It's maybe even after this movie for sure. But John Carpenter, you know, here's the first thing they say is, you know, it's time to realize that John Carpenter eventually outdid Halloween. The thing is just so well regarded. Sci-fi fans, horror fans, and the funny thing is we've talked about what, say that again.
It's just different, you know. It's not like different. It's just different.
And we've talked about some of these older movies, 70s into the early 80s, and talking about the special effects and sometimes they hold up and sometimes they don't, and sometimes it's better when you don't even see, you know, what's happening on the screen. The thing is so well regarded for the special effects that it had. I haven't seen it in a few years now, but that is one of the main things that it's known for and renowned for, is the special effects being so ahead of their time and making it so scary.
Was this Rick Baker also? Did he do the effects on this one too?
I don't know. I see on the screen here it says the grossest special effects ever committed to film, courtesy of the genius Rob Bottin.
Oh, okay.
But I will have to go back and check this one out again, because it's probably been a good 5 or 6 years since I've seen it.
Yeah, it's what's crazy about this is, like, it's almost like Alien. Oh, Chris left us too.
Yeah, we're taking too long.
Yep, Chris. It's almost like Alien. These people are isolated in an area.
Well, they're in Antarctica.
Yeah,
right?
yeah. Mm-hmm. And they find this, you know.
Yeah, they're totally ice. I mean, you're right. They might as well essentially be in space. I mean, they're
makes it more believable too. Because it's like, you know, no one's ever really, you know, I don't know too many people have been to Antarctica, but
yeah. All right, let's jump down to number three from 1982. Okay, yeah. Here is a goodie. Poltergeist, 1982. Probably Craig T. Nelson.
The scariest PG-rated movie ever.
PG?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, little trivia knowledge. Do you know the last movie that was rated PG before they introduced PG-13? I think we've talked about this before.
Goonies?
No,
no. Goonies is why they started PG-13, right?
Possibly. That I don't know. The very last movie that was rated PG before PG-13 was revealed as an option was Back to the Future.
Oh, okay.
And they admit when they go back and look at Back to the Future, basically just based on the language that they use, that it should have been PG-13. So that's an interesting little piece of trivia. But Poltergeist, it's interesting to hear it was rated PG. I don't know that there's a lot of language, but it's scary as hell.
Oh,
this is another one that I saw as a child.
Yeah,
you know, and probably shouldn't have, and was scared out of my mind watching this.
And this is one of the things that I love about these 80s Spielberg movies, like the late 70s and 80s. The family dynamic that he works with.
Mm-hmm.
I love that part of it. And it's also, it shows a developing middle class in this era of the 80s. Because like, if you look at E.T., if you look at Poltergeist, if you look at Goonies, there's always some sub story about homes being built.
Yeah.
Land being developed. Homes are in construction in a lot of the scenes.
Yeah.
You know, it shows like the burgeoning middle class of the 80s.
And you know that's tied into Spielberg himself, right?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So if you do watch that documentary, if you haven't, he was, you know, moved to, you know, I think the Southwest. You know, into this area where it was like, you know, new developments, and he didn't really have any friends, and he was, you know, into, you know, making these films on this little camera, and he was just very isolated, and he loved to be doing that as his hobby. But when you watch this documentary, you realize how much of his life and childhood bleed into all of these movies he does. And so that makes a lot of sense. Same thing with Close Encounters. There's a lot of Steven Spielberg in Close Encounters.
Yeah.
So Poltergeist, basically a house.
Did Spielberg make Close Encounters?
Yes.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
You just said there's a lot of Steven Spielberg.
There's a lot of Encounters. It's
he made the fucking movie.
Right. But what I'm saying is it's autobiographical. Yeah. I meant it in the vein that it's autobiographical. Oh, there's a lot of his childhood in the movie. His experiences, the dynamic between his parents in real life is the dynamic you see between the husband and wife in Close Encounters, and he talks about that in the documentary. I can't recommend that documentary enough.
I think we've talked about this before.
Yeah. So check that out, because if he's so many great movies that it's worth hearing the story behind the camera. Poltergeist, a house is built on top of an old Indian burial ground, right?
Yeah.
You know, of course, there's the famous scene with the little woman that walks in. You know, and tries to help them with the, you know, the possession and whatnot. And that. This house is clear. you know, there's a lot of famous, you know, parts and lines in this movie. Obviously, the TV with the little girl is just absolutely iconic.
Yeah.
But this is a legit scary movie.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
Number two. You guys are going to have to help me out here. I know the name Suspiria, 1977.
This is number two. It's vampires,
right?
It's Dario Argento. What?
Vampires?
I think so. Let's go. Strange Phenomena afoot.
Grim fairy simple tale.
Premise. Eliza Giallo, Master.
I don't know. But I've heard this name a million times. You know, as being a movie to see, I have not seen it.
Yeah.
All right. So Suspiria, 1977. I know people watching this have got to have seen this movie. So please let us know what you thought in the comments, and let us know if this is one of your favorites.
They remade that recently within the past 5 years or so, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But still Italian, I'm sure.
Okay. All right. Well, let's thank everybody for watching this episode of Five Idiots Talking Toys. Tonight, we are Five Idiots Talking Halloween Movies.
Three idiots talking right now.
And well, three remaining idiots.
Three remaining idiots who haven't fallen asleep.
That was number two. All right, everybody, good night.
That was number two. We are going to go to number one now. Please check out 5idiotstalkingtoys.com for all of our links. Please subscribe to the YouTube channel. Follow us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And we have Wednesday episodes every Wednesday. If you are a collector of any sort, we share our new collectibles and any losses we had in the collector hobby on Wednesdays with Wins and Whiffs. And we have a new topic every Sunday night. We're going to be covering a lot of shows, movies, toy collectibles, lines, things of that nature. So please join us on the channel for other content as well. Guys, it's time to wrap it up. We are going to zoom down to number one here. It is Texas Chainsaw Massacre 1974. I got to believe this is the all-time top low-budget horror movie. Am I right on that?
I would say so.
Let me tell you what. Every Haunted Mansion that I've been through that is put on by a local high school or a local whatever.
Rotarian club or whatever.
Has people with, you know, my high school did the same thing. We put on a thing to support the senior class. Every senior class did it. They put on Haunted Trail, Haunted this, Haunted that to raise money. And it was always the guys in the chainsaws that would come out with, you know, actual chainsaws, gas powered chainsaws. And you would hear that thing rev up and people would just start running. I'll never forget smashing my face into my buddy's face. And because the lights were out or they had the, you know, the, what do you call it?
The strobe lights,
strobe light going off.
Yeah.
And these a-holes running around with chainsaws chasing people and nobody, I didn't know if there was a chain on that damn thing or not. Turns out there was never any chains on it, but my God, how scared, you know, like we were teenagers and we're still terrified of these guys running around.
Yeah.
And they do the same things on all these, you know, Hollywood, Universal Studios, Hollywood, you know, what do they call them?
Halloween nights or whatever.
Halloween Horror Nights.
Yeah, Halloween Horror Nights.
They still chase people around with these damn chainsaws and they still get everybody and it never gets old. So, and I think it's because of this movie and it never gets old.
Brandon does not like chainsaw people.
No.
No, I can tell. I haven't seen it in a handful of years. It may have even been as many as, you know, like 10 years now.
There's a lot of remakes.
There are a lot of remakes. This movie is creepy on a number of different levels. And the killer and is he's lives with people in his house, right? Like there's everything is so creepy. His whole inbred family, they're so creepy. The house is disgusting and creepy. And then, of course, you know, the fact that he's a maniac wearing, you know, leather or skin on his face, whatever it is, and he's just, you know, randomly killing anybody that he can come across is what makes it so scary, you know, so random and so, you know, uncalculated and just horrific. You know, and it's just iconic. It spawned so many other, you know, slasher type killers and the chainsaw is iconic. And, you know, we've even got, you know, car insurance commercials now, you know, with chainsaw killers and stuff. But I have seen some of the recent remakes were pretty good. You know, there was one that in particular, I forget, you know, if it was just straight up Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake. But I remember the modern one being pretty good as well.
Yeah. And what's funny is the marketing for this movie, it said this is the following events are true or something like
Well, it is based on a real guy.
Well, it's based on Ed Gein.
Right.
And, but what did they say at the beginning? It says it on the poster too, I think, like the following happened or something.
I think they took, you know, a lot of liberties and they dramatized it and whatnot. But yeah, it was based on a story that, you know, somebody, you know, followed in the news and came up with the idea to make this movie and come up with this killer. But, you know, it absolutely still holds up. You know, it doesn't, you know, they're out in the middle of nowhere. It doesn't matter what year it is. It's very creepy. If somehow you have not seen this movie, and I'm sure we have some younger folks who, you know, may have come across this. And it's from 1974. Go seek it out and watch it. Even if you've seen the more modern ones, go watch the original.
Let me tell you what. Mm-hmm. In my career I've been to a lot of weird places in the United States, in bases that are in very remote locations, and going out in certain areas. I wouldn't call it going out. I'm calling it like I'm traveling to the range that we're working at, you know, driving a Govee or whatever. And like, hey, let's go stop for some burgers. And we stop in this place and it's just like, I'm looking around and I'm like,
are we eating human beings?
Yeah, like, am I eating this kid? You know, like this guy's like family, or like it's this very weird kind of like same. I got the whole Texas Chainsaw Massacre kind of vibe when I stopped at a couple of these places, and these places exist. I mean,
yeah,
I've driven the United States, you know, a bunch, and I've seen a lot of little weird towns and a lot of weird stuff. And you guys are right. The amount of weird stuff that people get into and,
yeah,
and how some of these other people live. And it is no joke. Like this stuff, I can imagine it happening. I mean, another movie that didn't get mentioned tonight in the top 49, which I'm kind of surprised it didn't, because this movie creeps me out, but the Hills Have Eyes.
Oh yeah.
That one. Ooh. I mean, that one's kind of scary. It is.
Similar vibe, yeah.
Yeah, like, oh my god, like those are those scare me, and then those still scare me, you know. Those scare anybody that watches those. This is kind of funny, you know, changing gears here. I might have been asleep for this one, but Friday the 13th, did that never make the top 49?
It's not on here, you're right.
Like, really?
Yeah, like, and there's,
how did that not make it on here, man? Those are some pretty scary movies too, you know. Like,
and there's a progression there between like the first, second, and third. You know, like the first one, just kind of being, you know, it's just a really creepy story, right? Because we find out that it's really the mother, you know, Jason's mother, and there's no Jason, you know, the whole first movie, and then the second movie, Jason comes back to life. He wasn't in the first movie, so you've got that progression, and then you get to
the very end of the movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then you start getting into like the third one, and now you're like, okay, this is like just 80s, you know, low budget horror slasher movie, and it starts to get a little ridiculous. But, you know, those are absolutely on everybody's list for, you know, Halloween time. So
are any Alfred Hitchcock Birds movie, right?
Psycho was the only one.
Like, there's some other good movies that could have definitely replaced some of the ones that were on that list.
You're making other movies jump into my head right now that we're going to have to cover another time, but how about Cujo? Something like, you know, outside of the slasher, you know, a gory, you know, genre. I remember seeing Cujo again when I was younger, and that is a scary movie.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Stephen King.
Or Event Horizon. That's another sci-fi.
Yeah, I was thinking about that one.
Sci-fi thriller, horror movie. That was that. Yeah. I mean, that movie scares me more than Alien, you know?
Yeah.
When you were talking,
there's some good ones that they didn't list.
When you were just talking about Texas Chainsaw, and then you were talking about, you know, Hills Have Eyes, another movie that's a pretty recent movie jumped into my head. Have you seen X? If you haven't seen X,
documentary about Twitter?
No. Is this
Malcolm X?
No. Put this on your list if you're looking for something, you know, pretty recent to watch. It's X, and it's the story is it takes place in the 70s. The story is there's a small crew of like three women and two guys, and they're making a porn movie. They're making a porn film, and it's like the, you know, like mid late 70s. They basically rent, it's almost like today's version would be an Airbnb. They rent this little house that's on a property of a bigger house, and they're in the middle of nowhere. They're like in the Midwest somewhere. They drive from like a more urban area to go out and shoot in the middle of this, you know, rural area. So they're in the house and they're shooting these scenes, and you know, you got that kind of movie the first half. And then the husband and wife who live in the big house, they're creepy from the get-go when they arrive in this van, you know, the five of them, and they start filming their movie, and they're inside, and the husband and wife, they're really an older couple. They start getting creepier and creepier and creepier, and then all kinds of crazy stuff happens. And it goes very like Texas Chainsaw for the second half of the movie. Watch that. That's a good, it's a good one.
I've seen something similar to that.
It's a good one.
There's all sorts of good movies that that are kind of like that.
Yeah. And that movie is, I think it's maybe not more than 2 years old. It's like a year and a half old. Mm-hmm. So it's just called X. But that's a good one. All right, guys, let's wrap it here. This was our review of 1 through 20 of the top Halloween movies to watch according to timeout.com. So we'll say thank you to them for their list. We just found it online and found that it was a good list of a mix of stuff we have seen and haven't seen. And if you haven't seen the last episode, again, we went through 45 through 21. So go check that out. And we hope everyone enjoys the holiday Halloween season, enjoys catching up on a lot of the horror movies and scary flicks that you haven't seen in a while. And come on back, subscribe to the channel, and check out the next episode of 5 Idiots Talking Toys. Thanks for being with us. Good night, guys.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Chris. Bye, Charles.
Bye, Chris. Bye, Charles.
Bye.
Thanks for sticking it out.